This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussein will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi rasuli wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. The human being has many flaws as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. We are an incomplete creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense that complete how Allah wanted us to be created, but we have deficiencies. Each human being has their unique deficiencies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly states this in the Quran, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, that the human being was created weak. You were never created fully complete and free of deficiencies with all the strength in the world. That was preserved only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars, they discuss why the human being in Arabi is called insan. Because the word used for a human being in Arabi is al-insan. So why is the human being called al-insan in Arabi? And it's a discussion that the linguists have. One of the more common opinions is that the reason why the human being is called insan is because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that there was one thing that he shouldn't do in Jannah. Everything was permitted, one thing wasn't. Fanasi. However, he forgot and he made a mistake. Therefore, making reference to that forgetfulness of Adam alayhi salam, the human being is called insan because it's amongst us, it's in our nature to be forgetful. We tell ourselves something today morning, I'm going to accomplish it. Or on Sunday you tell yourself, this week I'm going to accomplish this. But then 2 days later, 1 day later, we forget. Most of us probably don't even remember what we had for iftar yesterday, even though you're probably thinking about it right now. Or what we had for iftar earlier today. Because we forget. Our mind, we enjoy one thing and then we move on to the next. We enjoy one thing, we move on to the next. And this habit of forgiving, or this characteristic of forgetting, sometimes can have benefit. If a person, for example, has a bad experience, the best way for them to get over it, one of the many ways to get over it is to forget. Forgive and move on. However, there are some things that should never be forgotten. Because forgetting the things that are beneficial to you will end up leaving harm in your life. And that's exactly why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And give them the reminder, for indeed the reminder is beneficial to the believer. The believer is constantly reminded in the Quran. You read again and again and again. أَفَلَا يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah says, do you not take a remembrance from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding you of what happens in the past, what you're experiencing today in the present, what you will face in the future. Again and again, constant reminders. The greatest reminder a person can engage in is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, shaitan's number one approach to a human being to misguide them or to take them off a pathway that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to make them forget. And making them forget what? Making them forget many things. Making them forget the good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in them. Making them forget the energy they have to do the good that they wish to do. Making them forget about all the other good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised them if they do good. Making them forget about their ultimate purpose and focus in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةِ. That, what a silly state. What kind of interesting state is this of a human being that you love that which is immediate and you forget about that which is everlasting. The dunya and everything that it holds, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ. The world and everything good that it offers is very little in comparison to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored for you in the hereafter. But this is again an attempt of shaitan of making us forget. And how does shaitan make us forget? He occupies us in other things. So what's happened to many of us is, even though we believe that the akhirah is our ultimate destination, even though we believe the akhirah is permanent and everlasting, Even though we believe that we will truly be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah, and all of the great things that this world can offer can never match anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored for us in the akhirah. We believe in these things. But shaitan distracts our attention. And he makes you focus on today. Because since you're obsessed with today, you won't have the opportunity to think about tomorrow. Or what's coming after that. And this is the step one that shaitan takes to misguiding human beings. And this is repeated in the Quran. The shaitan himself, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, before that, there's one more word, I'm forgetting it. What was it? Do you know? No? So anyway, shaitan, when he makes a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will come to them, وَلَأُذِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. That I will misguide them and I will give them promises of the world, make them see the pleasures of the homes and the houses and the cars. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this in another place of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. That your wealth and your children are a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to use your wealth for a good cause. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do good with your children and leave them as an investment. But what happens is that very same wealth and those very same children, shaitan changes your perspective. They're supposed to be your investment for the akhirah, your children and your wealth. But what does shaitan do? He says, forget about investing it in the akhirah, invest it in the dunya. And be worried about investing it in the dunya, and make sure you keep getting your return. Your job is to protect your wealth, not spend your wealth. Be greedy over your wealth. Every morning you wake up, you should ask yourself, how will I earn more today? At the end of the year, if you need to decide whether this was a successful year or not, the way you do that is by reflecting over whether I gained enough wealth this year or not. And if I earned more, alhamdulillah, I was successful. And if I lost, if my numbers don't add up, then I was at loss this year. وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ. Your own children are a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sometimes shaitan takes your own spouse, that is half of your deen, and turns them into an enemy of yours. Because you turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of your husband, because of your wife. You forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you're worried about your children, making sure you take them here, making sure you take them there, and that they get to their karate session, and they get to their kumon session, and making sure they get to their dance class, and their music class, and they go here and there. You become so obsessed with them that at their cost, you end up forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very big problem. You have to remember, the sum value of every interaction you have in this world, ultimately, is how that brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a friend in your life that takes you away from Allah, that friend needs to get the boot. If your own child takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to reevaluate that my child made me miss salah. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he had horses. He loved his horses very dearly. He had a very close connection with his horses. You know how some people, they love cars and they're very connected to their cars. He was connected to his horses. They were race horses. He loved them very dearly. But what happened one day? While he was with his horses, he became forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْلِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّي. And he said, my horses were the reason why I was forgetful of Allah. And then he said, take these horses away. رُدُّهَا عَلَيْهِ. Get these horses away from me. I don't want anything to do with them anymore because they were a distraction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, one of the greatest miracles, one of my teachers used to say, of the companions was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them wealth, but the love of the wealth never entered into their hearts. They controlled wealth more skillfully than a magician would control his snake. These people knew how close to let their wealth get to them, and how far to keep their wealth away from them. We aren't standing here to say to anyone, and I don't want anyone taking this message away, that we're saying that you should leave your jobs and not earn your money and not care for your responsibilities. That's not what we're saying. We never said don't acquire wealth. What we're focusing on is the love of wealth. These are two very different things. One thing is someone does something because they need it. And the other thing is you fall in love with that thing. When you fall in love with that, now you become blind and deaf towards that thing. And you forget about the ultimate purpose and the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. The people who say, I can't focus in my salah. The people who say, I can't focus in dhikr. The people who say that I can't read the Quran for more than 5 minutes. These very same people somehow, miraculously, magically gain the ability to focus, give attention, and fully be, you know, be present and aware at their work and at their job and things that they're obsessed with for 8 hours straight. You know, for things that they have love for, because they know that if I give it my undivided attention, I will be given a check at the end of the month. So they believe in that reward. But when it comes to the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no belief in there. There's actually, this is like the back burner thing, something that I'll get done if I have the chance to do it, if I live long enough. That's why the young people say, I'll become religious when I become old. Right now my beard is still dark. Why should I go and start, you know, doing X, Y, and Z act of piety? I need to focus more on just partying and enjoying myself. Being religious is for old folks of the community, not for the young ones. This is all delusion. Nobody ever knew whether they were going to make it to the age of 30 or 40. Nobody knows if they'll make it to tomorrow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us for a purpose to this dunya. And that was to live a life of His worship. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us wealth, we do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're thankful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't carry the greed of the dunya inside our heart. In Urdu, in Persian actually, there's a small little saying slash poem they say. They say, Banda Ahmad Baraya Bandagi. Banda means a servant. Ahmad means to come. Baraya for the sake of. Banda Ahmad Baraya Bandagi. The servant came to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zindagi be bandagi sharmindagi. But a life without servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually a shame upon you. Because you ultimately failed your purpose. Zindagi be bandagi sharmindagi. A life without ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a shame against you. And it's not, for many of us, we make a life of piety a personal goal. It's constantly encouraging the people around you too. Be a source of inspiration to the people around you. Many of us come and say that, oh, I don't have friends who inspire me to do good. The people who surround me aren't good influence. So become that good influence. If no one is there, then you need to become that good influence. You need to become that person who inspires other people and brings them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan will constantly put this veil in front of your eyes. And believe it or not, tomorrow or the day after, we'll wake up again with the very same dreams that we went to sleep a few days ago before with, of living in that huge house and driving that sports car. You should watch when our youth watch TV and they're seeing, you know, a nice sports car on the screen. People start drooling because they see the value of that. They see the bling and the glamour in that. But they forget about the akhirah. And that's why these reminders are so important. That's why these reflections are so important, to remind us that there isn't a car in this world that can ever match the pleasure of the akhirah. There is no lady or man who can possess beauty of the beauty of the akhirah. There is no house in this world. We've asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the houses of the dunya. When was the last time you and I sat down and we made a dua to Allah? Ya Allah, give me a palace in Jannah too, inshallah. When did we sit down and make dhikr? Do we not know there are so many ways for a person to earn a palace in Jannah too? Do we not know that everything we're investing in, we can earn that many more folds in the akhirah if we ever wanted to? So the summary or the idea that I wanted to really convey today was, be people of remembrance. Be people of dhikr, ahlu dhikr. Be people who are always engaged in remembering. Shaitan is trying to make you forget your goal. There's one narration that says, Umar radiallahu anhu had a ring, and on his ring he had something inscribed. And whenever he would face a tough decision in life, or if his heart would desire wealth, he would look at the ring and he said, my heart would calm down. You know what it was? What was inscribed on his ring? It said, "Kafa bil mawti wa'idha." Death is the best advisor. He would look at that and remember that a $5 million house isn't going to help me when I die. Whenever his heart would feel the desire to wear a nice elegant garment, he would look at it and say, death is the best advisor. Because there's no pleasure in the dunya knowing that ultimately it all comes to an end. That's why the pleasure of the Jannah is so great. Because it never comes to an end. Every pleasure you build in this world will ultimately come to an end. So enjoy what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You don't need to forfeit it. But remember that Allah gave it to you and you have a responsibility to give it back to other people. You have a responsibility to be thankful. Yesterday morning we were starting our fast at home. And before we started our fast, we made a dua as a family. And I was telling the kids that we make dua to Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today provides for the hungry people across the world. And I was sharing a story with them, that I was in Sharon, Massachusetts. earlier this year. Was it last year? I don't recall. And there was this young kid. I went there for Jumu'ah Salah. This one young kid, he came to visit me. His name was Ahmed. Many of you may know this Ahmed because he later on wrote a letter to President Obama, which became a very big letter. It was all over the news. It was a big moment. So this Ahmed, I met him when I was there for Jumu'ah Salah. He was in the community. He came and he met me. And subhanAllah, when I saw this child, I only saw him smile from the moment he met me till the moment he left me. Always happy and joyful. And when I met him, I noticed that he was injured. He was actually in a home that a bomb fell on in Syria. He lost all of his siblings. If I'm correct, he also lost his mother too. And he lost both of his arms. And he came to America for some sort of medical purposes, some kind of, I'm not sure if they were going to give him a prosthetic or something, but he came here for some sort of ilaj or cure. And I met him, and he was the happiest person in the world. He was happy. He was looking at me. He said, "I'm so happy to meet you." He said, "How are you doing?" And he was so excited. We sat together, we ate. He never once complained about not having both arms. He never once complained about losing his siblings. He never once complained about losing his own mother. His father, on the other hand, was sitting in the corner crying, because he saw his child in so much joy when his child should have been full of pain. When I saw this child, I told the story to my kids today. And I said to them, this is what you call shukr. Did Allah give you two hands? Yes, He gave you two hands. Did Allah give you a plate? He gave you a plate. Did Allah give you a home? He gave you a home. He gave you a bunk bed. You asked for it, Allah gave it to you. So we don't fall in love with Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Just as Allah gave us today, there's a kid waiting across the world who wants food, and they're waiting for you to give to them just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to you. The moment you think you own your stuff, the moment you think you earned your stuff, that's the moment that you forget about the people around you. Because they aren't in need of it anymore, and neither do you have a right towards them. But if you remind yourself that what was given to you was gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will always push yourself. You won't need a fundraiser to stand in front of you and say, donate for the iftar cause, or donate for water, or donate for X, Y, and Z. No one will need to come and stand and tell you that. Because you'll remember it was given by Allah, and as easily as it was given by Allah, that's how easy it can be taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His people of remembrance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His people of shukr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His people who are generous and also and forerunners in giving back to others in the cause of humanity. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.